What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Indeed, the Independent Wrestling Podcast. I'm Mike Hamley, here once again on Fightful Overbooked with Righteous Reg to talk some indie wrestling to you. How's it going, Reg? How are you doing this week?
It's your boy, your favorite rapper, your favorite writer, your favorite podcaster, Righteous Reg in the building for Indeed. I'm feeling pretty good. Just got done with a pretty lengthy Ask Rhapsody. If you haven't seen that, get to Fightful Select. Check it out. Had fun. Talk some hip hop. Talk some wrestling. And today we are here to talk some independent wrestling. Very excited about our show today because we're talking about a crazy, amazing show that just happened. And we're going to get into that very soon. How you doing today, Mark?
I'm doing really good. Speaking of Ask Rhapsody, I was just watching it before we went live here. And something you guys were talking about almost had me take a sick day. It was some BTE if it were to take place in the WWE universe.
I'm hurt. I haven't recovered.
That was insane. That was hurtful. Kind of gross. It was crazy talk. But
Phil was going all the way in too. I'm like, also, don't do this.
Also, like, really funny, but like hilarious mental visual. But like, no,
But awful if it was real.
Yeah, but we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about some independent wrestling. And the one, so while I was watching Ask Rhapsody, I was also scrolling on Twitter as one does when, you know, they're kind of killing time. Someone in chat, I never saw the Ask Rhapsody link posted on Patreon. Is it somewhere else now? It was on Patreon. You just got to scroll down a bit. If there was any news post that came out, they'll like be above it, but it was definitely in there because that's how I got the link to watch it in my browser on my computer. So,
sweet.
Yeah. But yeah, as I was scrolling Twitter while Ask Rhapsody was on, I saw an announcement for a match. And I knew when I saw it, I hoped you hadn't seen it because
I haven't seen it.
If you watched last week's show, I happened to catch an announcement that happened during the show. Reg got really excited, made a fantastic noise, and it was
shout out to Michael Oku. He's dope. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, thank you, Michael Oku, for clipping that and tweeting it. It was fantastic.
Really cool.
This one, I don't know if you're gonna make the same noise, but Circle Six has been teasing a lot of fucking wild match announcements, and this one they have coming up for March 19th at their Skeered show in LA. It will be Bobby Beverly versus Vinny Massaro.
Vinny.
In a Taipei death match.
I thought Vinny wasn't into any of this hardcore shit. He put out a video that said he wasn't going to do none of this. Well, this is amazing. I love Vinny in the Taipei death match. Don't do a lot of Taipei death matches in independent wrestling, in wrestling at all. Like the most famous one's probably Axel versus Ian Rotten in ECW. That's the one that always comes to my brain. But Vinny just did a promo on Circle Six saying he wasn't going to do none of that hardcore shit. Keep him away from this. And for him to go to that, to a Taipei death match, is amazing. Looking forward to it. Vinny is doing a lot.
Yeah.
Speaking of Vinny, also want to, any wrestlers are watching, WrestleMania weekend, Vinny is doing a very cool thing out in LA. If you're a wrestler, he's doing like a, he's calling it a wrestling combine, essentially. Come in. Vinny's a booker for multiple wrestling companies, I've heard. So he has a lot of influence. If you want to get in front of a booker that can get you booked in some really cool places, or just get in front of, if you think you want to up your game, do whatever you needed to do, you're going to be in LA for WrestleMania weekend, possibly, definitely respond to Vinny in the Twitter or Facebook or online or whatever, and Circle Six and the people that are doing the things out there. It's going to be super interesting. If you're a wrestler and you got time, you definitely should check it out.
Absolutely. Yeah, Vinny, you know, I've heard he booked several promotions.
Several.
That was one of my favorite days on Twitter.
I loved it.
You know how you like remember some days on Twitter?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah, that's one of those ones that's going to hang around for a while for me.
Mm-hmm.
Some other match announcements, I might as well just, you know, do them while we're here.
Yeah.
Saw some other cool ones today. We talked about Revolver last week, so they announced some stuff for their next two shows. In April, they have a show on a Thursday again. It's called Thursday. And it looks kind of like it's Wednesday themed, like the Netflix show. So that's kind of fucking
gotcha.
Cool.
I like it.
So one of them is the birthday girl today, Ally Catch, is going to wrestle Miyu Yamashita.
That's a big deal. Shout out to Ally. Happy birthday, first. Second of all, that's a great match. She's been getting put into situations like this very recently with top of the professional wrestling women's areas. So any test for Ally is great. Miyu has just been going insane in all of her American matches. So I'm sure this is going to be another good one.
Yeah, she's over for like Prestige Roseland and stuff too. Mm-hmm. Again, coming up.
I saw that. Remember, we were talking about that recently, how she's like a part of the roster essentially. And here she's back.
Yeah, she's like at Prestige all the time. She just feels like she's like from, you know, the Pacific Northwest. She's like she's an Oregon based wrestler when she comes to America.
So funny.
Another one for that Thursday show is the Wrestling Revolver debut of the Bounty Hunter, Brian Keith.
Yes.
Which.
Let's go, baby. That's amazing.
We are fans of Brian Keith here to say
big fans. Mm-hmm.
And then their show is Saturday, March 4th. That's another crazy weekend. Mm-hmm. That Revolution weekend.
There's a lot going on.
This is in Iowa, and the show's just happening also on Saturday, March 4th. But you have the Ace and Bay Bullet Club versus the Rascals versus SGC for the Revolver tag titles.
So that's a fire match. Everybody in there is Ace and Bay have been tearing it down. All the shit they've done in New Japan is insane. But the shit that they've been doing in Revolver has been super awesome. Everything's been lit. The Rascals are one of the best tag teams in the whole world. Everything that they do is amazing. Trey, Miguel, and Revolver is like another... I don't know why he goes so... He goes so hard everywhere he goes, but it feels like in Revolver, it's extra. So seeing the Rascals in the match is great. And the Second Gear crew, you know, anytime that they're in a match, look for something high for Mass to jump off. Look for some doors. Look for some blood. It's a great recipe for a match, honestly.
Yeah, they SGC and Rascals had a trios match 2 weeks ago, and last week it was my number one of my top five.
Yep,
exactly. It was one of the most wildly entertaining things I've seen in a long time. SGC matches, they're really kind of classic, classic arena brawl. You know, like. ECW.
They're the new Jack, essentially. No music. If their music played the whole time, but you're gonna get that type of thing of like, gonna be wild when their match comes on. No matter what promotion it is, no matter what's going on, their match is gonna be crazy.
Yeah, I'm expecting pretty much a very similar match, but probably just a whole other level of fucking craziness to it, because you know you have Ace and Bay who are
insane. Both of those guys can do things that I've never even imagined wrestlers can do.
Honestly. Yeah, and I'm excited to see them apply their, like, the way the Rascals apply their style kind of into like the SGC environment. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see Ace and Bay also get to do the same thing with the same circumstances, and then also the Rascals involved as opponents too, because then there's that dynamic. That,
exactly,
that's just going to be whole fucking crazy, whole crazy match. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Revolver's doing a lot of that with the match dynamics. It's been those are my favorite matches. You know, like I love Styles Clash.
Yeah, totally.
It's so fantastic. I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
Should be like good show. Talking about like Styles clashing, the show we're here to talk about today specifically, well, two shows, but Saturday was wild. It was the return of the Jersey J Cup, which last took place in like 2014.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to mention who won that one, but past winners have included Jay Lethal, Super Dragon, Loki, Grim Reefer, Rhett Titus, Mike Quest won it. And yeah, so GCW and JCW, they brought it back. They've resurrected the tournament, and like they're continuing the tradition of, you look at the, I looked at the brackets of past years to come up with that list of winners that I just rattled off. And looking at the brackets, I'm like, there's so many people in this where I'm like, they could have won that. And then same fucking thing this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like I couldn't have predicted a winner going into it. Just
no,
like,
I didn't know. Even the winner, the eventual winner, I didn't predict that at all. And it makes a lot of sense. This is funny, you know, when you intro this little show we're talking about, you said something about Styles clashing. And that's what I thought was super interesting about this show here, is that the best part about this is nothing clashed, though. Like they all have different styles, but everybody worked so well together. The pairings for all the matches were great. And it feels like this tournament felt important, and it feels like the wrestlers knew that, and they like studied each other, and there was all these beautiful counters to everything we know. And it's just, we're going to really get into it, but this tournament was really great, man.
Yeah, I guess styles clashing isn't really like a great term for it, honestly, because it's really more when they blend together that is the best part. Like,
exactly,
when you can watch a match and it's two people with completely opposing styles, and they can go so far to one person's side of things and then so far to the other person's side of things, but then also find this middle ground where they're kind of, you know, they're painting with both brushes at the same time.
Yeah,
that's
the magic.
And there was top to bottom, every match in this tournament, like there was even one of the matches we'll get to, you know what, we'll circle back to this one. I'll go ahead and get started with the, so we do have top fives this week. A couple of our matches are the same. So you sent me your list, and what I did was I just restructured my list so that the ones that are the same fall in the same spot.
Yes.
Which is very close anyway, because your number one, my number one and two were flipped. Our number ones are like the same now. But I had, originally it was number two for me.
Yeah.
But it was like, it's a 1A, 1B situation to me. Anyway, the match I want to start off with here is the, it was a non-tournament match, actually, from the second day, the second session of the tournament. I want to say day, because these things normally feel
it
like...
It feels like a totally different day, but no, it was like hours apart.
Yeah, tournaments always feel like multi... Like, and they typically are. Like, you think
they
like
usually
the
are.
The West Coast Cup was 2 days. Mm-hmm. There was, you know, Bola is like two days. Bola has been 3 days sometimes.
It has been.
Although, like, you know, then it gets you thinking about like shit like Tournament of Death and... tournament.
I'm like that's
a 1 day tournament. That's crazy,
dude. That's crazy. If any tournament probably should be 2 days, it should be that, and they like, no, they're gonna I'm gonna bleed three times today, almost to death.
You know what though, I don't know, I feel like probably for like the healing it might just be better
just get it all over
like
with.
Get it all out of the way at once. I feel like it'd be way more fucked up to like
it would be fun. You have a crazy ass 200 light tube match, and then the next day you gotta like go back. I probably want to just all get it all in one shot.
I don't know. Anyway, we might circle back to some deathmatch talk later when we're talking about what's coming up on the schedule this weekend. But yeah. The non-tournament match is actually like my number five here. Mm-hmm. It was a four-way tag team match with eliminated participants from the tournament and also a fourth team. So we had different youth, which was Jimmy Lloyd and Marcus Mathers.
Mm-hmm.
A cool pairing too, because like Dylan McKay was in the tournament. He could have just teamed with Marcus Mathers here, but exactly. Instead we got Jimmy Lloyd with him, which I liked. We got the really awesome pairing of Alec Price and Dante Leon,
mm-hmm.
which both of these guys are just incredible in their own very
unique ways. For some reason, that just really works together. Those
it feels guys. Like it does. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. The Brat Pack, Starboy Charlie and Billy Starks, which mm-hmm. that makes so much sense. One of the many variations of the Brat Pack, which you know, we would also have Nick Wayne hanging out in there with that. Mm-hmm. And then they were all taking on the SAT. So,
legendary.
Yeah, there is a couple of reasons I love this match. And one of them being like we had, you know, all the eliminated participants from the tournament still getting a chance in the second session to kind of go out there and be like, hey, you know, you didn't get to see us advance in round one, but mm-hmm. you know.
And then for the people, some people might just watch the second show. Yeah. I don't know why they would and not see the people on the first show. So to get them in on both shows, to get some eyes on them either way.
Yeah, and it's cool because it's a more like a lot of the tournament matches are so serious with the stakes.
Yes, exactly.
Like this is for the like every match is mm-hmm. you know for the Jersey J Cup, really.
Exactly.
Like you know, like you're fighting to win every match for the purposes of winning this.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the Jersey J Cup, but also the winner is the Jersey Championship Wrestling champion now.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's a totally different vibe with this kind of match. It's, you know, like there's no stakes to it. It's just like everyone's out there having fun. But mm-hmm. then also you have the SAT who are the, you know, the quote innovators of the modern style.
Yeah.
And they're in there in the ring with this like young crop of wrestlers who are mm-hmm. very much all currently like the modern style is their style. They're modern wrestlers.
Like people know? In this match against the SAT are doing moves that the SAT brought to the game. Like some of the stuff wouldn't exist if it wasn't for these guys and the people that were directly inspired by them. They're in the match with. I love matches like that all the time where you get to see who inspired and who's still doing it. It's great to see who inspired is still being in the game at the top of their game because SAT can still go like back in the day, honestly.
Yeah, like take a drink every time you've seen a Spanish fly in a match.
Better be some water because you're going to be dead if it's some liquor.
And suddenly we all have a problem.
Seriously. Spanish fly, like that move. Just in the show, we like the first session show, we've probably seen it five times. You know what I mean? So like,
yeah, and then some of the variations on it now too are fucking crazy,
right?
But as far as this match goes, like there's a lot to talk about with it, but it's like there's so much to talk about that like if I sat here and said everything,
you can't
like
do it justice. Like it's and if you could do it justice, we'd have a 5-hour show for you trying to break it all down.
It's a four team tag match.
Yeah,
it in GCW / JCW no less. So it's like it's essentially been a tornado style match.
Yeah,
the entire way through, mm-hmm. everyone is getting in there. Doing Reg's favorite spot of people are one at a time getting in there and hitting their shit in the end. There's, you know, eight fucking people to go through here. So and then we proceeded from that to go to the like the same thing, but with double team and like triple team moves and shit. So at one point, Billy Starks and Starboy Charlie had the SAT both up in electric chair, which, like, I'm thinking about, like, Jose Maximo sitting on Billy Starks' shoulders.
Yeah.
And Alec and Dante hit fucking blockbusters off the top. mm-hmm. on them. It was like the whole match was just crazy. SAT wins, you know, they're not going to let all these kids beat them. Come on now.
No way. They're legends.
But yeah, it's just, it's all the chaotic fucking crazy fun of, mm-hmm. you know, a four team tag. It was an 8-person tag basically the whole mm-hmm. time. Like it was just, it was mayhem. It was chaos, but it was like, it was a nice adrenaline joy ride after Super Series, like every match, especially like those second and third round matches in mm-hmm. that session were like Starboy Charlie and Joey Janela was like a 30-minute match.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there like, was some intense long time fucking blood feud felt like matches going on earlier in the mm-hmm. day. So to kind of get like a break from it was really great. It's great to see SAT again. I talked a little bit about Red. Was that last week that I talked about Red? Same shit here with the SAT. All the stuff that I talked about with Red right there and all those matches was the SAT. These guys have been innovating the wrestling game for 20 years now. They might have been a part of many of the other J Cups because they've been around for so long. So this is really awesome to see. I love seeing tag matches when, you know, It's a great idea to have a tag match in a tournament that's all singles matches, you know, just to kind of have something else going on. This is a great match.
Yeah. And actually, it's funny because, like, you know, going and looking at your list now, heading into mm-hmm. year number 5, very similar vibes.
It's exactly, yeah, along the same lines. But there was a, like you said earlier, there was a little bit more stakes to this because my number 5 match was, before we get to that, do you want to get to how many our new little segment here after we say what our matches of the week is?
Yes. So I have rated we do have a rating system now here. It's indeed, you know, there's a general theme happening here.
Mm-hmm. If you haven't noticed, I don't know if anybody has noticed.
Dredge's pen. So we do have a 5 scale rating system here. And I do give this 4 team tag a 3.5 out of 5 pre-rolls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. We're rating out of pre-rolls. It's
because why wouldn't we?
Shock.
3.5 pre-rolls for that tag team match.
Yes. Yes. A solid 8th.
Yeah. That was really good. I love it. We're gonna not be stoners for a second. Just kidding, we're continuing to be stoners. That was amazing. My number 5 match was the opening round scramble, which featured 6 wrestlers vying for what was the final spot of the tournament. They just put 6 guys in there instead of a one-on-one match, which featured Dylan McKay, Marcus Mathers, Yo-Yo, Dante Leon, Cole Radrick, and how am I missing someone? Cole Radrick and
Was it Jack Cartwheel? It was supposed to be Jack Hart. No, it was supposed to be Jack Cartwheel.
Grim Reefer. But it was Grim Reefer. Yes. There you go. How could I forget Grim
Past
Reefer?
Past tournament winner.
He was a great, he was almost one of my favorite parts of the entire match. You know, if the Grim Reefer's in a match, you know what Grim Reefer's going to do. Especially, it's great to follow up with our new rating system with Grim Reefer because he represents exactly what it is that the ratings are. He's always going to have a pre-roll on deck. And here was no different. Busted out his pre-roll, lit that bitch up. And this guy, like, if you've never seen a Grim Reefer match, like, please watch it because this guy does spots with the pre-roll in his mouth. Like, it's lit and he's puffing on it and he's running and he's jumping and he's kicking and he's doing springboard front flips to the outside with the joint lit. And it's still lit when he hits the ground. It's amazing. It's like something you would never see before. It's a hood slam spot, but not in hood slamming. You know, it's great. I love it. He should be a part of hood slam. Why hasn't he been a part of hood slam? He should be a part of hood slam. But this match was everything that I love about professional wrestling, as Righteous Reg would say, supreme spot food going on here. Everybody was busting out their shit. At one point, they all start hitting top rope maneuvers. There's a shooting star press, 450 splash. Dante does his corkscrew swanton thing. Everybody's just busting out their shit. It's wild. It's breaking down. It's going crazy. This match was awesome, though. Cole Radrick ended up getting the victory, but throughout the match, he showed why he's one of the best in independent wrestling, the way that he connects his spots, the way that he has put an emphasis on being just, you know, hungry, angry, wanting to be next up on the independent wrestling best of list. He really shows it here. I liked everything about this scramble match. These guys are really fighting to earn a spot into the tournament, which is exactly what you would want to see in a match like this. It was great. Like I said, Cole Radrick got the victory, earning a spot into the next round. I gave that first round match also 3.5 out of 5 stars. Also a big eighth. Super fun match. Also kind of opposite of what's going on in this tournament because it's a scramble match, not a one-on-one match. Yeah. But they really did it. This is exactly what you would expect out of a GCW-style, JCW-style scramble. All that crazy shit.
I feel like we're going to have to start a counter of how many times the GCW scramble makes one of our lists. Because, like,
pretty much every time we cover something like that, it's the scramble that does it.
Yeah, it's like, again, like, take a drink every time the GCW scramble is good.
Mm-hmm.
Scrambles in general, I feel like I haven't seen...
It's pretty rare that they don't hit, honestly.
When was the last time you watched a scramble match and you're like, mid?
Mm-hmm. Nah, I can't think about it.
It's because they always put these, like, fucking crazy athletic people in there. Mm-hmm. And they're like...
The best part is, though, some of the wrestlers hate it so much. When you get to the arena, it's like, oh, I got to wrestle 5 other guys only get my spots in here and here. Yeah. So I understand both sides.
I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm lazy, but I feel like that would be almost ideal. It's like, all right, I just got to go in there. I have about 3 minutes of
two full minutes in the match, honestly.
Yeah, I have 2 full minutes where I actually have to like get my shit in. And then the rest of the time I'm, you know, probably I still have to take someone's shit probably at least once or twice. But like, what, I'm standing outside to
a lot of times you're just on the outside.
Just I'm just waiting to catch people.
They did my favorite little spot in here to get your shit in. One person in the ring come in. Yeah. I get it. I know why it has to happen. I understand.
Yeah. See, the thing is, though, like, I know it's coming, but like, I feel like I'm okay with it because I just know it's going to happen. I'm like, I'm prepared for this.
Like, I know it's a pop the crowd spot, so I'm not mad at it because it works every time. Like from independent wrestling all the way up to the top, like in WWE, like that spot goes off. People love that shit. I just think it's kind of hokey and stupid and they should figure out something else. But I know why it's there.
Yeah. But the other thing, too, is like I think part of what you said there is the pop the crowd thing. Like for I almost guarantee, like if you're there live, it's bananas. You're just sitting there going, the whole fucking time.
It's back to back.
Yeah,
I get it.
At home, it's like,
you
do because you know it's coming because you like you have like you also it's like you have this like you know often very dialed back at indie shows
right
you know, hard cam that's like
exactly
you can see everyone kind of like almost like lining up to get ready to go
like oh so about like, to be my turn they're like they're like crouched down by the apron like looking for their little moment we could see you guys.
Yeah, just squatting in the corner, holding the rope.
I love it.
Waiting. Yeah.
Independent wrestling never fails.
But we love it.
We love it.
Consume it like fucking water.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, so we're hitting our first shared match already.
Yes, we are.
Number 4.
Mm-hmm.
Opening round match. And this is what I wanted to circle back to earlier, which is kind of great.
Yeah.
Because we were talking how, like, you know, it's two different styles blending together. This is Ares versus Commander.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, as much as it's two lucha wrestlers, it is, like, still totally two different styles.
Exactly, right.
And that's what makes this, again, so cool is even within like the same umbrella of Lucha, you have Commander, who is, he runs the ropes like they might as well be like normal, like a sidewalk for him. He's just like,
I never thought we'd be able to describe a wrestler by being like, he runs the ropes, and not like you think he runs the ropes. No. Like, everybody runs the ropes. Yeah, you learned that on the first day of wrestling school. He, like, no,
tight ropes that
he
shit.
Tight ropes them. He's on the top rope running across the ropes. He's insane.
In fact, you know what? I'll just skip right to it. My gif of the week is Commander.
What is he thinking of now? Is he going for the... Oh my God, look at that!
Into a Phoenix!
What? How do you... I don't, like... In like, who do you say, okay, I'm going to try this, and then you try that? Running the ropes, springboarding off the next rope into a Phoenix splash, all in one motion? Like, if you just did... If you separated the whole spots and just did one of those spots, it'd be nuts. Like, if he just did the rope run, you'd be like, that's the craziest thing I've ever seen. If he just did the springboard Phoenix splash, you'd be like, that's the craziest shit I've ever seen. But he puts it all together and does it as one fucking spot. What is the human? Like, I don't understand how you could do that.
Like, I don't have words for it. It's like the, you know, like the signature dish of indie, just spot foo all over the place.
Honestly.
But it's, again, like, it's a clash of these insane luchadors, both of them within their own, you know, like within their own unique bubble of lucha, where Commander is just this crazy rope walker. His balance is...
We got to go through all the indeeds and see how many gifts of the week Commander has, because I'm pretty sure
he's
leading the way right now.
Oh, he's got to be like, yeah, he's got to be like, he's the undisputed champion of gif of the week by far. But just watching him is insane. Like, the way he runs the ropes, but not only running the ropes, but like just the, like, jumping up and down between them. Like, it's no different than watching like Rey Fénix or even Vikingo. It's like he's the shit he's doing on there is just from a completely
mind-blowing.
It's from a completely different planet. And then from an even further away galaxy is Ares.
Yeah.
And the way that he, like, he reminds me of no one.
Yes, like, you can't compare what he does to anybody else. The way that he maneuvers into to moves and cartwheels into tiger drivers and shit. And like, no one wrestles like the way he uses his leg to wrap around the head and spin him around into the power bombs. Nobody does shit like this. And it's funny that you say the way that you said that they're both luchadors and like, but they're like totally different. They're like, so like, you just think, oh, two Mexican wrestlers. They're probably they like do totally different things. And the way that Commander has used rope walk, I just, like, my brain can't compute that that's his spot. His spot is, I'm gonna walk the ropes and do a shooting star press, I'm gonna walk the ropes and do a Phoenix splash. And it's like, you're not supposed to be able to do that, and that he is a premier luchador that can do that. And he still does his dives, the fucking rope run into the one that he did here, the big turnaround corkscrew moonsault in the air that the camera couldn't even catch because he got so high. It's like, this guy is a generational, outstanding, crazy, you have to see this talent, honestly.
Yeah, it's, he's the King of Strange Style is his like moniker, and it makes absolute sense. It's just, you know, you were talking about the way he kind of like maneuvers into and out of things, and it's even when he has people in like submissions, he's like snaking in and out of moves, and then also the way he's like bending and twisting people in these extra bizarre ways while he's doing his like doing submissions. It's, and then he's also kind of mastered the ropes like Commander, but instead of like running,
he's different.
Yeah, he's like, he just snakes in between them, in and out, like, well, like, yeah, it's like snake like, you know, it's just completely, you know, it's two different planets from like different galaxies. You know, it's bizarre.
This match really reminded me how crazy it is that we get to see these luchadors. I don't know. It's been a long time since like independent wrestling has been like a premier place for like luchadors, like the best luchadors. Like there's always been excursions. There's always been people that came over, but like to be able to see Commander, Vikingo, Bandido, Flamita, all these guys like randomly on shows with other great wrestlers and like seeing these guys in their primes or haven't even hit their primes yet is insane. Like this is it. It reminds me of ECW in the fucking 90s when you would see Rey Mysterio and Psicosis and Juventud come over because they're the hottest fucking wrestlers in Mexico and then tear it down. And it's just like that now. We're seeing the hottest luchadors in the world come over and tear it up in tournaments like this. And we got places like GCW who's been bringing out incredible luchadors for years now and established them on the independent level. It's like, man, we are living in some great lucky times.
And we're and thanks to that too, like we're seeing them turn up on a lot of shows. Like West Coast Pro's got a lot of luchadors coming out now. Well, they always really have, honestly. Like you know, like it but they're a promotion that you know regularly has lucha on their shows. But we're and you know Prestige as well. We're seeing a you know it feels like there's like you know you're seeing and Commander and Arez are actually like two of the guys that you're seeing on. A lot of promotions.
Yeah, they're featured a lot.
Yeah, they're which is again, it's fantastic. You know, can only lead to bigger and better things, even for them.
Dude, they announced for the GCW show here in LA, Commander versus Leo Rush. Like, yo, come on, that's man,
crazy.
I can't believe that. I wish it wasn't so close to Mania season and all that because I'd probably drive down there. But that's crazy.
Yeah, and it's funny that you mentioned Leo Rush.
Because
our next match is another one that we're tied on. And it is Leo Rush versus my favorite wrestler, Tony Deppen.
Yep.
I busted out one of my Tony Deppen shirts today, and I said one of because I own multiple Tony Deppen shirts, even up here in Canada.
As I was watching the show immediately after this match happened, I went to our messages to hit you up and be like, that was crazy. Like the way that Tony Deppen can work with anybody is just like, there's not a lot of wrestlers. There's a lot of people that they think can do that and they think can work with everybody, but not like Tony Deppen, man. He just brings out something so different in all the wrestlers. And my favorite thing, he works so well on both sides of the thing. When he's on offense, he has really crisp looking offense. And actually, he's improving every time I see him. Like his knee strikes have gotten better every single time he comes out. Like he's so precise with his stuff now. And then when he's on defense, when he's getting a beating, he takes everything so well. He sells so great. He just does all the little things that people kind of ignore. He focuses in on them and he does them really amazing. Tony Deppen is a great talent. And I'm hoping with this, the new launch of Ring of Honor feels like he's going to be playing a big part of it because he's already gotten a couple victories. I see on like AEW Dark, like they like him over there. And I think
that he's regularly too.
Right. And they like him over there. So I think that he is going to play a big role in the new Ring of Honor, which I'm super excited about.
Yeah. And you know what, honestly, it's it makes sense. He is a former Ring of Honor TV champion.
Exactly.
And, he wasn't even signed there when he won that.
Exactly. Also, that's how much people really believe in this guy, man.
Exactly. You know, like, again, how can you not love watching what Tony Deppen does in the ring? I make no secret about it. Like, yeah, it's my favorite wrestler. I love watching the guy wrestle.
And he's amazing.
But the thing is, it's okay. Like, part of it is I like heels.
Yeah.
I have it, but it's particularly like the cocky ones that will like, they just won't, you know, they'll stop in the middle of a match, talk some shit to the crowd, their opponent, the referee, anybody.
I love how this match started. They're singing along to Deppen's theme and Leo Rush is like, he minds like, nah, this is whack. And then so Tony Deppen gets on the mic and says like, this ain't karaoke, bro. Like, don't be singing my song when it's playing, like, let me come out and I don't want to hear y'all. Tony Deppen's always going to get the moment to heal it up. I love that. And the best part about it is he always gets his comeuppance, though. Like, he never talks shit about anybody and doesn't pay for it. Like, anytime he talks shit, he's going to pay for it. That's how great of a wrestler he is.
Yeah, and it funny, too, because he has, like, the most sing-alongable fucking theme.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And I love the story of that. He said that he wanted to pick the most annoying song that he could pick, but now everyone loves it.
People embrace it
every time.
Yeah, well, like, how are you going to hear that and not sing along? Come on now. Especially
just the opening little, we built this. It just hits every time. The guys are never going to fail.
Indie wrestling crowds who, like, you know, they thirst for audience participation moments.
Oh,
they'll sing along to or make a chant out of anything.
Mm-hmm.
So
honestly, the biggest heel movie can have in independent wrestling is coming out to no music.
Yeah, no music, or like you'd have to pick something like egregious.
It has to be bad. But like, it feels like they turn anything, like indie wrestling fans will turn anything into some shit.
Someone might have done this, and if they have, like, you know, sorry, fuck me for getting it wrong, I guess. But like, I challenged somebody to come out to like some Yoko Ono,
something like that. Yeah, that's the only way. It'd have to be something like really far out where people are just like, oh no, I fucking hate this shit.
Yeah, like the kind of music. Have you ever heard like the technique that they use for flushing hostages or like flushing people out of buildings, where they'll just like blare horrible music and shit?
Yeah.
Like whatever music qualifies for that.
Mm-hmm.
I want somebody to try that.
Use that. Come on, Wrestling Hills. Let's see if you can do it. Can you pull this off? Can you get people to hate your damn song?
Yeah. I want somebody to have a theme so bad that like they've just the minute the song, and it's not because they know they're coming, but just because the song is that bad.
The song is so bad that they're just like, I hate this person for having this shitty song. Yeah. I also don't want that though, then, because then we have to hear the song.
Do you think Nickelback could do it?
No, I feel like people will get behind that, man. They'll start remembering the old Raw theme, and then they're just like, you know what? Maybe Nickelback wasn't so bad. You know how people are, Mike.
True. This is true.
It can turn that fast though. That fucking fast.
My God, we're horrible for getting off the rails. I feel bad.
Back to the match. Leo Rush and Tony Deppen was amazing.
One of my number one a few weeks ago was, and it's funny because it was before we picked the format, but I had kind of like saved it for last because it was the one I wanted for number. It's weird. You know, the top five was like almost existing before it existed.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't talk much about Leo Rush when I talked about versus Dustin Waller.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, part of that is because I knew I saw this match as one of the opening ground matches. And I was like, I'm going to end up talking about it. You know, it's going to end up there for me just on like, you know, this basis alone.
Right.
So I knew I'd be talking about Leo Rush in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And how can you not talk about Leo Rush? He's
one
of the most innovative dudes you can be watching in wrestling.
Mm.
He's taken something that would probably, you know, is completely out of control in his size and just found a way to manufacture like a personalized style of wrestling that like nobody does but Leo Rush does.
Leo Rush is bigger than life. When like
he knew
when he left the WWE where he wanted to go, and he continuously invested in his character. Even when he was going through injuries and all this personal shit, he was continuously investing in his character, and it's totally paid off because every show that he features on, he feels larger than life. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what was happening here is like from his entrance to the way that he bulked up. Like he looks like that's the thing that kind of is crazy about Leo Rush's return is like, he's bulked up. He looks great, but he still does the shit that he was doing when he was smaller. He's still just as fast. He still can't catch his ass when he turns on the go and I'm going to go. Only he allows you to catch him so he can get you. But if he didn't want you to catch him, you would not catch him. The run that he's been on throughout returning to wrestling from Wrestle Kingdom to the stuff he's been doing in Wrestling Open, he's had two really amazing Wrestling Open matches that are just tremendous. He's been working a lot of places, and he's been on a run like no other. I'm so happy for him because he's been through a lot of shit. So for, you know, for him to combat all that and then to come back doing this and to do what he did here in this match with Tony Deppen, the fucking finish of the this move that he did. You saw him do a really crazy one against Kylon in the Wrestling Open match. This reverse inverted, I like to call it the Tomb Driver, the old Owen Hart special, but he's like reversed into it. It's like, this is,
you know what I called it? I called it the Michinoku Destroyer.
Mm-hmm, the Michinoku Destroyer. There you go. It's just a reverse. Like, it's essentially a reverse Canadian destroyer. Yeah.
Yeah. So if like for context, the finish, Tony Deppen had Leo Rush in a tombstone position, and Rush, like, you grabbed the ropes in the corner and walked himself so he was just like he had Deppen in a head scissors basically and swung himself facing towards the middle, and they like both flipped, and it was it was
an inverted Canadian destroyer, essentially. Yeah,
yeah, it was it was fucking crazy. I don't know how that didn't make a gift of the like.
Yeah, no, that's how great the world is, that so many gifts happen. Yeah, that fucking inverted Canadian destroyer into the Big Frog Splash. Leo Rush got the victory in a match. But what I was saying earlier about this show and the styles, these guys mesh so well. They were, I saw it in a couple matches where. The counters, there were new counters to spots we've seen a lot of times, which means they put a lot of focus on just like making sure that if they've wrestled before, it's not the same match. And so this was on display here throughout a lot, because a lot of these matches we've seen before. That's one thing that that I've noticed with everybody kind of ramping their thing and a lot of promotions using the same wrestlers. We're starting to see rivalries, we're starting to see feuds, we're starting to see these things throughout different promotions. So we could see a two wrestlers could have matches together for 3 or 4 or 5 weeks in different promotions and become like, you know, married, as they say, to this great match that they can kind of take around the country to put on display. And so this kind of felt like that. These two guys are like at the top of their game, Leo Rush, Tony Deppen, and they were countering each other and they were bringing their best shit and hitting everything. I love this match, man. I gave this match a 3.75, 3.75 on the matchup with the weed pre-roll.
Thanks. Pre-roll scale. The pre-roll scale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it circles back to the theme we were kind of discussing earlier of a blending of two styles, and you have like the shitbird dirty heel tactics of Tony Deppen.
Shitbird.
Yeah. You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And then outside of that, you know, a more like traditional wrestling style out of him as well. And then Leo Rush, the way he uses his quickness and his size as like a means to counter and outpace his opponent. And, you know, every time Tony, you know, they'd go for a break and Tony would go to throw a strike and Leo Rush would find a way to like duck it or, you know, but not just duck it, but like zip all the way around behind him. In one little sweeping motion, they did the damn thing, and Leo Rush won and moved on in the tournament.
Really good match.
I gave this one a whole four pre rolls. I gave it the whole four. And no Tony Deppen bias in there for me at all.
No, for real.
It was an amazing match.
Totally.
It's going to be hard to not watch. Like, if I go, like, when I go to, I'm going to watch this tournament again. Mm-hmm. And, like, I know that I might skip a match, but it's like, I don't know if I can. Like,
right.
It's hard to find a match on here that's like, oh, don't skip this. Like, or I should say, it's hard to find a match on here where it's like, oh, I guess I could skip this on the replay again. You know, it's like, they feel like they're all, they're so unique. They're so replayable. There's crazy shit happening in all of them. I watch them a lot for the, I watch them a lot like for my own note taking in the week. I've watched them like at least two or three times each. And I'm still catching shit. Like on the third replay of stuff, I'm like, how did I not see this the first time it happened?
Yeah, no, this whole show felt really important, man. Like there used to be, independent wrestling tournaments are kind of they're a long-term thing. And if it hasn't felt like one like this with the amount of talent in it and how it's everything about it just felt like big and all the wrestling was great and all the wrestlers came through. So this was awesome, man. It's not a hard watch at all. Like, I understand why you've watched it, why you can continue to watch it, because everybody really brought it.
Speaking of wrestling tournaments, GCW Plan Podcast asks, how would you guys compare J-Cup to Bola? Apples and oranges, honestly. Yeah. Like, they both hold significant importance to their region and independent wrestling as a whole. But, like, it's two different things. You know, it's their tournaments. You know, they both feature a crazy amount of talent, but this was, you know, we saw a lot of American-based wrestlers in this one. You know, Bola is more like an international all-star show kind of thing. Like, there's...
Like, this one, the J-Cup feels more in line to what they're already doing over there at JCW and GCW. Like, it's the PWG, like you said, is an all-star game for, like, the best in the country. Like, the J-Cup was essentially used to get over Jersey Championship Wrestling wrestlers at the end of the day, you know what I mean? Like, the eventual winner is like here all the time. Like, this is
different. If you look at like the past iterations of it, the tournament, even though it was completely different ownership and more than one promotion that ended up like putting the tournament on over the years, it, you know, it still predominantly featured like mainly Northeast based wrestlers.
Yep.
If not like, you know, at least American based, the odd Canadian, you know, and now the odd Canadian, you know, Speedball Mike Bailey's in here. We're going to get to him. Yep. yeah, actually, no, we're going to get to him now because we're talking about my number two. My number two match is the finals match. It's like, it's more like a 1B, like or 1A. Yeah. I don't know. I could go back and forth with this in my, in my number one, but Jordan Oliver versus Speedball Mike Bailey in the finals of the tournament. What a fucking insane match. Congratulations to the JCW champion and the winner of the Jersey J Cup.
Well deserved.
The East Coast Ace, Big Breakfast, Jordan Oliver.
Makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely makes a lot of sense. And it was an incredible series of matches he had to get to the finals. He fought through an opening round with Alex Shelley.
Yep.
Which already, hey, you
like you're starting off with Alex Shelley. That's
great. Yeah, you started off your day beating Alex Shelley, which is already holy fuck. Then Charles Mason, who, you know, this is just nice to see Charles Mason lose a match.
Everybody wants to see him lose, yep.
Then third round, he had Joey Janela. Again,
history like, there. There's a lot going on, like a lot of like Joey has watched Jordan grow up. There's like so much behind that.
That was a lore match. Also, as much as it kind of, you know, it was like a, you know, kind of like a brass ring grasping moment sort of for Jordan to get the win over Joey. And then Speedball Mike Bailey in the finals. And like Speedball had Jonathan Gresham in the first round, Commander in the second round, Blake Christian in the third round, Blake Christian and Mike Bailey, like January or February or February-ish last year sometime, they wrestled in LA at one of the GCW LA shows. And I've watched that match several times since then. I love that one. And like got to see them run that one back in the Jersey J Cup. But yeah, Jordan Oliver, like, he is the, like, just watching his trajectory over the last couple of years in particular has been phenomenal. And for me, something that really sticks out is in December 2021, he had a no rope barbed wire match with Atticus Kogar in at a GCW show in LA. And that one for me, I was like, that's a main event. Like they have Jordan Oliver in the main event in LA in this crazy stipulation match against someone who at the time I also thought was actually going to have a pretty prominent place in GCW, but that turned out fucking crazy.
Things have changed. Yeah.
Wow. But hey, you know, like I was right on one out of two, so that doesn't feel too bad. Yeah. But like, it felt like, you know, there I was like, all right, I feel like as 2023 progresses, we're going to see Jordan Oliver get, or 2022 progresses. Sorry. I was like, I feel like we're going to see Jordan Oliver start getting a lot of these bigger matches and moments and like meaning like victories over like meaningful, like opponents, not that like every, you know, like a you know, victories are meaningful, you know, all your matches are meaningful, but I over these very particularly noteworthy names as the year 2022 goes
on. We'd have to look up his win-loss record, but he didn't lose a lot of singles matches in GCW. Like, he was one of the most winningest guys out there, for sure. Like, they made a special emphasis on Jordan Oliver. This whole thing kind of reminded me, it was like along the same lines of how Titus has been built up over here in West Coast Pro. Like, Titus got the big West Coast Cup win. And the whole time, like, if you go back and, like, really put an emphasis on watching what Titus was going to be and where he landed, that's exactly how Jordan Oliver was. If you go back and watch from when you said and everything that Jordan did throughout the year, and he's been being built up to this big moment that he got here.
Yeah.
That's what kind of made the tournament. It like, the tournament was amazing, but for the way that it ended, it was perfect, I think. Like, they picked the right winner for this, the guy that's been built for this, the guy that's been at every show no matter what, going hard, one of the MVPs of this and GCW. Like, this was well deserved right here. And to be able to have that, this, these different matches in this tournament, and to be able to end it with who many consider the best independent wrestler going today, is like the perfect storm of what you want from a tournament.
Yeah, it was such a great way to cap off everything. It was like a perfect, you know, it was like a coronation kind of moment almost.
Yeah.
Where we're seeing this is the, you know, it feels like this, you know, this is our ace, you know, mm-hmm. kind of vibe with it.
It's going to be interesting.
Although, too, like, there's forward, a lot of aces that are in and out of GCW. Like,
yeah,
but
that's I'm interested to see.
He is the East Coast ace. So
going forward, how they like? Are they going to tie in the championship with GCW? Is it going to be like you're the man over here? Now you're one of number one contender over here. Like, it's going to be super great, and it's going to be great to see Jordan Oliver as the number one person in the company being able to main event as the champion mm-hmm. and seeing what he's going to do. This is great.
And yeah, and the other thing too is like GCW, a lot, you know, as much as they are the like kind of like the, you know, the black and gold NXT mm-hmm. almost of GCW, I guess.
Yeah.
If you see some of the names that come through JCW still, mm-hmm. like they don't, it's not just all like, you know, it's not just all young wrestlers that are, mm-hmm. you know, that they're trying to make, you know, more familiar names with. It's, you know, it is, but it's also kind of that almost like that West Coast Pro mentality, yeah. like booking style, really, where it's like you have these young, hungry, talented up and comers that are, you know, starting to get some traction and a name behind themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we're bringing in all these ridiculous names and they're having these fucking crazy matches.
Yeah. That's what's great that they have like the partnership with GCW. It's because GCW gives you the big dream match, main event style shit. And then JCW also will give you that, but they put an emphasis on the younger people, the people that are next up against the people that are already up there. It's great. It's a great partnership.
Perfect example of it, actually. The Great American Birthday Bash. Mm-hmm. Cole Radrick versus Konosuke Takeshita.
Yes. Perfect. That match banged. That match is crazy.
Yep. Not to mention that, like, that led to Takeshita using one of Cole Radrick's moves, Little Sebastian's Curse. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he calls it or if he, but still it's like that.
Mm-hmm.
Where else are you going to find that app? Yeah, it's amazing. For a finals match, this was perfect. It had all the like drama, desperation, hope, and then eventual elation from the crowd that you would want from a tournament final. Both wrestlers fought insane fields to get through to the finals of the tournament. Both of them came in with, you know, Jordan was, he had an arm injury from early on in the tournament that just progressively got worse. Same with Speedball and the leg. And, you know, as the match goes on, they're both just trying to survive and outlast their opponent and eke out the victory. And then we finally, you know, we got the crowning moment for Jordan Oliver at the end of it. Insane local, almost hometown. He's from New York. They're in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically the same state,
mm-hmm.
Or so I've heard. You know, Jordan gets the big victory in what, you know, it kind of, you know, he takes the crown for JCW. He's their champion. He wins the Jersey J Cup. Everyone's going nuts. You get goosebumps down your arms. It's a feel-good, happy moment. I give it 4 out of 5 pre-rolls.
Mm-hmm.
Or, sorry, 4.5 out of 5. I had it written down here and I kind of,
my 4.5 out of 5 of pre-rolls. Yeah, really good match. Yep. Really great moment. Shout out to Jordan Oliver. I'm sure he's going to be a great JCW champion. It's going to be great for the future. My number 2 match of the week featured Joey Janela, also against somebody that I've seen come up as a young boy, Starboy Charlie. I wanted to talk about this match, one, because it's a really great match, and two, because I wanted to talk about the rise of Starboy Charlie and how cool this is to see him in this tournament. Imagine going to West Coast Pro shows for years and seeing a young 15, 16 year old kid make his way up the ranks, starting in the first matches of the show as the young guy just trying to get his way through to becoming one of the premier wrestlers in West Coast Pro, becoming one of the best representations of what the future of what everything West Coast Pros represents. So to see him here in this big giant tournament, one of the best tournaments that we've had in a long time, everybody's stepping up their shit, trying to be the number one person. To see him here in a big spot against Joey Janela, and then to see what happened in the match, is just amazing. I love seeing the transition of any wrestler from beginning to where they are. And he's still so young, a young guy, not even close to his prime. These young wrestlers are just like, it's crazy. We talk about it all the time. Starboy, Billy, Leon, Nick, like all these people are just amazing. But this match, man. Joey Janela, when he gets into this, Joey Janela is tremendous. Everything that he's done post AEW, he's upped his stock. He's went to Japan and gotten better. He is one of the premier independent wrestlers. When he gets into his bully Joey Janela, I'm badass mode, which he was here in this match, there's not a lot of independent wrestlers that are better than him. They got into a chop, back and forth chop fest, and boy, oh boy. I've never seen Joey Janela chop anyone this hard. I don't know if it was just because it's Charlie and he's Charlie or what the hell it is. But when Charlie dropped the straps and Joey got those big Kobashi style fucking smashing your chest in chops, and Charlie's bumping off of him and trying to get him back, and Joey's just feeding him. It's just, woo.
Joey turned into Walter for like.
He seriously did. He seriously just, turned into Walter.
He manifested Walter.
Right, right. At one point, Charlie's just like, all right, enough already, dude. I don't want my chest chopped in anymore. This hurts. But yeah, Joey Janela was in this bully mode. But Charlie, the reason that he is where he is now is because his charisma, his heart. You want to get behind this kid when he is going in. And when he started going in on Janela and fighting back and not let his chest being chopped, you know, really firing back off at Joey with forearms and all of his signature shit, it really turned into something. The way that Joey Janela, there was no doors, huh? Wow, Joey Janela match with no doors. That's really something right there. I don't know the last time I saw a Joey Janela match without doors. It's crazy.
It's a weird one for the bingo. That's a rare one for the bingo card.
Joey Janela without doors. This was awesome, man. This was the fighting from behind shit that we love from Charlie. Can he defeat this big Goliath? Joey Janela wants to show that Joey Janela is coming to win this tournament. He's not like, this isn't like, I'm just here, I'm happy. Like, this is connected to him. He's connected to GCW. He's connected to JCW. He's connected to all this going on. And he wants to be the J Cup winner of 2023. He wants those accolades. He wants to carry around that cup. He wants that belt more than anything. Like, you don't, like, he's here to win this match. And so I really just love this match a lot. That's why I had it as my number two match. Charlie took a beating. Joey Janela lariated him in his face at one point. Just destroyed.
Fucking killed him.
Just destroyed. Starboy. One point, Joey Janela got Starboy up in the Gory Special. Starboy reverses the Gory Special into a La Mystica. That's just like beautiful, beautiful work. But the most disgusting, vile, crazy spot of this match, they're both on the apron. Joey Janela hits Starboy Charlie with one of the nastiest package pile drivers you will ever see. Charlie's neck, like, I don't know how he survived the match, but it was dangerous and nasty and awesome and cool, and we love to see it. That was the end of the match. Like, you could have counted to 100 after that on apron package pile driver. Joey Janela got the victory. Starboy Charlie showed everybody why he should be in this tournament. This is, in a tournament, you want a match like this to kind of cement everything that's happening and to all the different styles of the match. All the different styles of matches throughout the tournament, this one really complemented everything. I thought it was great. I thought both guys were great on both sides. I gave this one 4 pre-rolls. Awesome match.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, too, I can very easily see this being a match that they come back to down the road, and Charlie gets a very well-fought victory over Joey Janela.
Exactly.
And you know what? Joey Janela is definitely like that. That's climbing a rung on a ladder almost, you know.
It is.
If you're in GCW or JCW, you can get a win over Janela. Look what a different Sawyer Wreck.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like it's not like a
he doesn't lose a lot of matches.
It's not like a you know, expression or anything. Like actually, you know, like that it does something.
Yeah.
It says something.
Totally.
Yeah, crazy match.
I loved it.
Joey Janela for world champion in GCW.
Yeah, we've been campaigning
hard here.
Bring it back, bro. Like
it's an agenda.
I know Nick Gage got a couple of matches coming up. He has one with Speedball coming up and all these different world title matches. But the next GCW world champion needs to be Joey Janela.
Yeah. It's actually funny you mentioned, you know, we'll talk about it later because it's in the preview for this weekend anyway, but let's get to our number one.
Yes.
We just mentioned his name again. Speedball Mike Bailey.
He was your number one and number two.
He was in my number one and number two. And I didn't mean to do it. I didn't even realize I did it until you just pointed it out now. I was just like. And mind you, as my number two, I'm, you know, kind of made it a point to not talk much about him there.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to give that all to Jordan because. Mm-hmm. This tournament,
it's a big moment.
Know, this tournament was, yeah, it was Jordan's tournament.
Mm-hmm.
But like this match,
this main event of session one, dude.
And it's something you mentioned earlier about how something we see a lot because of the talent pool that's available for all these independent shows is we're starting to see guys have repeat matches against each other and build up like these rivalries or these feuds or even just this like familiarity in the ring where every match just gets that added layer of extra shit on top of it. Mm-hmm. And it just gets better and better and better. It's almost like, you know, it's like a better version of wrestling a guy 20 times in a month on a house show loop.
Yeah. Why you gotta do me like this, Mike? Come on. But yeah, no, I feel
but no, yeah. 20 times in a month is that, I don't know. Like, this was a good match, but like, if I had, you know, if I watched,
if I saw it 20 more times, I'd be like, all right, you guys, like, let's fight somebody else.
Yeah, but this is the sixth time that Mike Bailey and John Gresham have mixed it up, and it's very apparent. Like, from the start of the match, they literally opened the match with this chain of like lightning fast counters.
It's so fast, right?
And that's it. And again,
but it wasn't just like that was what got me about this match is the pace, is because there was a bunch of pockets in the match where they were going 100%. I'm talking about both of them trying their hardest to knock this other guy out. And it's like, how are you guys keeping this pace, man? Oh my God, insane pace. But then like both the guys, you're like, okay, yeah, I mean, you know.
Yeah. Like, but then, like, there's something that I, you know, that kind of spaced it out was this, they kept going, they went back to this ankle lock on the outside a couple times, and it's like, it was still this really intense moment in the match, but it was not like, it wasn't the fast-paced, you know, chain wrestling or you know, athletic shit. It was John Gresham was trying to snap Mike Bailey's fucking foot.
Yeah, they did this off a few of his time body. In the match because later in the match, Gresham locks him in a figure four, and like that is like the way that they sold that for a couple minutes. Like, it's masterful storytelling. Oh, there's that word. I can't believe I just said that out loud. Wow.
And this is. I mentioned talking about the Jordan Oliver and Mike Bailey match that, you know, in the finals, they're both coming in carrying these injuries from earlier in the tournament. Yeah. Mike Bailey still, you know, come in the finals. He's, you know, this established the leg injury that he's carried through the entire tournament. And, you know, this John Gresham doing what he did to Mike Bailey's foot on the outside, you know, kind of almost established the tactic that Bailey's opponents were going to kind of take on through the tournament of going right. after that injured leg. And it's, mm-hmm. you know, like his story of the tournament of like battling through the adversity of this leg injury started with that.
Yeah. We have to talk to someone on this show very soon who has been inside of a match with Mike Bailey, because these kicks, Mike, they like, I need to know, I have to hear what they feel like to be on the receiving end of having your chest, your stomach, your head, all these things caved in by Speed Mall Mike Bailey, which looks like some brutal strikes. There's a lot of back and forth in this match with Gresham hitting elbow, Speedball comes back with the kick, and they just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and they look so fucking brutal. Speedball's kicks are just like destroying John Gresham, what it looks like. And so this meant a good point of this match, just trying to knock each other out, which was awesome. But then there was also a bunch of really slick counters. Both guys busted out all of the shit in their arsenal to try to take down the other guy. The fucking forearms that Gresham would hit Bailey with as he's like sitting up or barely getting up or on his way down were insane. The one spot in the match where Gresham gets Speedball to the outside, hits the tope, throws him back in, but then Speedball immediately reverses Gresham back out and hits the outside. He moonsault like all in one crazy motion. It's just like, this is professional wrestling at its fucking finest, man.
I love, like I mentioned the ankle lock on the outside earlier, but the desperation from Bailey to get out of it, where he's like holding onto the apron and 1 foot hopping while Gresham's just behind him, like, you know, kind of like almost like dog walking him with this ankle lock around the ring. But then Bailey climbed up onto the apron and tried to get back in, and Gresham gets up on the apron and is just doing it on the apron, and eventually lets it go, gets in the ring, and then slingshots Bailey.
Like, yeah, that slingshot, right.
And catches the foot out of midair and just fucking holds on. I'm probably going to watch it again sometime this week.
Yeah, this match was, like, it's crazy that this was the first round, because that could have been, like, the last match of the whole show. They really brought everything together. Jonathan Gresham it's been said a million times, legit one of the best wrestlers in the whole world. It was on display here. I'm sad we haven't gotten that Bryan Danielson match, because if this, like, Bryan Danielson on the other side of what's going on here, Jonathan Gresham is 100% who he wants to be, a bad motherfucker, man. But Speedball Mike Bailey, he just can't be, you know, can't be beat, man.
Yeah, bad boy. It's two wrestlers who are in the best in the world caliber. And they spent an entire match just explaining to everyone with their work why they considered that. And like it's you watch it and you just go, oh, these guys are fucking amazing. This match is fucking awesome. I love professional wrestling. I gave it 5 out of 5 pre-rolls. Honestly, like, I think this is probably right up there behind for me, so far this year, this is like right behind Kenneth and William from January 4th.
Wow, high praise.
Like, this is,
it's a great match.
I think this is right behind that for me so far this year. I can't think of anything I've seen recently where I'm like,
especially like an independent wrestling match. Like, this is crazy.
For me personally, because I watch so much independent wrestling, like I can't base, like, who, you know, when it's like you start getting to like the, you know, the wrestler of the year talk and all that shit, you know what I mean? It's like, so many people are like, oh yeah, they're a good promo and they're a good draw, and it's like, for the amount of independent wrestling I watch, it's like, I'm not out here expecting, like, I don't mind a good promo when it happens, but like,
I'm not looking for independent wrestling for that.
I'm not even going to hear one from 75% of the people that I'm enjoying watching.
Like, honestly,
it's not their thing. It's not something they do on, at least on like on the indie shows.
It's only the people that like really do it and really put an emphasis on it. That like we see their promos even, you know?
Yeah, so for me, it's like when I think about, you know, like wrestler of the year, match of the year kind of stuff like that, it's like I have to kind of take all those things that would, you know, you would probably want to apply to like someone on TV. Mm-hmm. And I just have to throw them like out the window. Like they're non-criteria for me.
Right.
It's like everything, it's literally what I see in the ring is like mm-hmm.
That's it.
It's my criteria. And it's like, I, it's not a great way probably to look at it, but it's the only objective way that I can look at, you know, like John Moxley and Jordan Oliver and be like, both of these guys are fucking excellent at what they do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's like
that's the only way to put them on the same plane is like,
yeah. And like, yeah. Disclaimer. I'm not saying John Moxley, Oliver and John Moxley, like, but mm-hmm. like I have to, it's the
that's
only
the way that you put them on even ground instead of just like this guy's on TV and makes blah, blah, blah. And this guy's over here. That the only way to separate that is kind of
otherwise it's in. Like it's apples and oranges. Otherwise, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like I have. And like if I'm looking at it, I have to find, you know, at least like, OK, so I have to just talk about fruit now. I can't.
Yeah. It's kind of like how how PWI 500 is scored. Like Kevin told me, he was like, if we went by like real criteria, then Bryan Danielson would just be number one every year. If we just went by like the best wrestler. So there has to be like all these extracurriculars that help other people.
Yeah. And that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, but so yeah, for me, matches. What do I see in the ring? Mm-hmm. And you know, there's a lot of people who there's so many more people who do great things in the ring that like never touch a microphone.
Yes, exactly. And that's okay. And I think they should continue to, and hope that the future of wrestling is that those guys can still be world champion, or those people, it doesn't have to be guys, could be anybody. Those people can still be world champion in the future, even if they can't talk on the mic. Oh, stupid ass shit. I gave this one 4.5 pre-rolls. Great match. Intensity, strikes, counters, submissions, all everything you could want from a high-profile independent wrestling match. Jonathan Gresham and Speedball Mike Bailey are two incredibly talented wrestlers. Can't find a lot of guys better than these. Like Mike said, this is the sixth time that they wrestled each other, and it shows in a good way. Like, it's like, damn, like the counters to the counters to the counters is like beautiful. Striking was on point. The commentary was great. Shout out to Dave Prazak. He just called the whole show, calls all the shows. He's an incredibly talented wrestling commentator, Hall of Famer.
Veda Scott on there too. Gets
Veda Scott, tremendous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's got to be weird watching like your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, because like for you know, all the good stuff that happens, it's like, yeah. And then like, you know, it's like, what happens the one time that somebody like, you know, fucks up something?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it looks terrible and you're like, oh no, but you gotta be like, oh.
You gotta be like, oh yeah, it's people, the wrestler.
Still, I'm definitely not worried about, you know, the fact that he just got dropped on set.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Knock on wood now, we never have to deal with that.
Yeah. You're such a professional, Veda. Goddamn.
Yeah. She's great. And he's great. Yeah. Everybody's great.
This match was incredible. First, the first match to get the distinction of being the dual number one for both of our lists, and
first match
makes sense. I'm not shocked.
Yeah, watch this match. Watch this show. I'm sure this is going to continue. Earlier, the question asked about the Super J or the J Cup and the Bola. It really all comes down to fucking streaming. If Bola was streamed live and we didn't have to wait a year to watch it, it'd probably be higher up on people's list. It's dropped a little bit because stream, like wrestling doesn't move like it used to when it was the hottest independent wrestling tournament. Now it's like there's a 4 or 5 in the year that are hot. So in the end, it's just all about wrestlers getting what they deserved and having good matches and dope places. So we're
speaking
winning.
Speaking of crazy shit that you can watch.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to, well, actually, you know what? Speaking of crazy shit that you can watch, he wasn't in any of our matches of the week.
Oh, my gift of the week. I forgot. I can't.
Reg has a gift of the week this week, too. He just
my gift of the week wasn't a part of this show. That's why we almost forgot about it. But if you know me, if you know anything about me, my gift of the week, you probably, if you've been on the internet, you know what my gift of the week is. Anytime Vikingo is in any place, He's probably going to be my gift of the week. I'm probably going to have to make it a conscious effort and not watch any of his clips because I'm just going to be like, that one. Like, there was five clips that he did over the weekend that could have been it. But this one is just, like, so absurd. It's one I haven't seen him do before that I was like, I have to put this in there. So, gift of the week is Vikingo versus is Gringo Loco in there, of course, as always. And, yeah, I'll just let the clip speak for itself.
He cartwheeled on the top rope.
Mike. He cartwheeled on the top rope, Reg. A full ass cartwheel on the top rope. What? After he springboard from the second to the top rope, cartwheel into Super Hurricane Rana. He cartwheeled on the top rope. How could I have anybody else? How could I have any other clip? This fool did a cartwheel on the top rope just because he can.
Yep.
Generational talent. Unreal. Nobody does it like this guy. He elicits emotions out of me that I haven't felt in a long time. What an independent professional wrestler. I hope that he is on TV one time to do that crazy shit. So
yeah. He wrestled Gringo Loco 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And this is already like new shit, same guys. Speaking of Gringo Loco, beautiful, by the way, another smooth transition.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight on IWTV, I get to promote a fantastic Canadian promotion.
Yes.
It's called Demand Lucha. They're based out of Toronto, Ontario. They have a show on IWTV tonight. Might actually be happening right now. I'm not 100% sure.
I would think so. It's 6 p.m.
Yeah, it's 9:20 in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's 6 p.m. my time. That's it. That's all.
Yep. Yep. 6 p.m. only where you are, Reg.
Still got a whole bunch of day left.
I know. Yeah, I think it might be on right now, but it's on IWTV. Either way, watch the replay. You have Joey Janela taking on Gringo Loco for the Premier Championship in Demand Lucha. There's also Space Monkey versus Marcus Mathers, Sam Adonis versus Jack Evans.
Mm.
That's just going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Jimmy Lloyd versus Jody Threat. Manders is having like a Lucha death match with Arrow Boy. Yeah, Demand Lucha is a super interesting promotion. A lot of crazy shit happening there, and definitely one of the ones in Canada that's starting to make a bit like a bigger splash and seeing some prominent names from, like, you know, the American scene coming up here. So, like, Gringo Loco has been the champion here for as far back as I can remember. It's not very long. I smoke too much weed. But
yeah.
So that's on tonight. Wrestling opens on tonight. We've got some awesome shit coming up this weekend on IWTV. Prestige has a show, Reality Unfolds, on Friday night.
Yes.
You've got Alex Shelley versus Sonico for the Prestige Championship. I really hope this is Sonico's coronation moment.
I hope so too.
That would be dope. The show is being main evented not by the Prestige Championship match, because they have a no rope, no canvas barbed wire death match between Drexel and Akira.
Wow. That's going to be
these guys have had a, if you follow Prestige, you know that these guys have wanted to just do progressively more horrific things to each other every time they cross paths. And it all culminates in, like, it doesn't get much more brutal than a no canvas barbed wire death match. It's right. Like, what more do you do at that point besides fight in the street with swords?
Exactly.
Like, fuck. So we got that on Matt Tremont's Angels of Death tournament. There's a whole bunch of shit. Subscribe to IWTV, check the calendar, find out everything that's on there. Fight TV has some crazy stuff happening too. AIW again. Ooh. they run like
pretty often.
Constantly.
Yeah.
Saturday, there's also a double shot, 4 p.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern of Black Label Pro.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, they have Love Stinks and at 4 p.m. and All My Friends Are Enemies at 8. The 4 p.m. show, we've got Josh Bishop and Dom Guarini for the Midwest Championship.
That's a fight.
Yep, Kevin Blackwood versus Trisha Dora.
Ooh, yeah. I like that.
Joey Janela versus the Nature Boy, Paul Lee.
Mm-hmm.
The evening show, Calvin Tankman versus Manders.
A brawl.
Great. Yeah.
Definitely check out Black Label Pro. They're always, we've talked about them before. They're great. They put together very long cards. They give you your money worth.
You like two shows in one day? Black Label Pro, shows in one day.
And at minimum, you're going to get like 20 matches. So you probably should watch it.
Yeah, it's a very worthwhile afternoon, and then later again evening of professional wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Always a good. I love watching Black Label Pro. They have some fun stuff happening.
They do.
Again, another place that it's a total variety bag, like mixed bag of tricks. Everything you're going to see there.
Totally.
Completely different to that. On February 18th, Saturday. We've got, if you like your deathmatch wrestling, there's some unsanctioned pro on Fight TV. Also, though, on Friday, that I forgot to mention, is GCW and VXS are teaming up in Vegas. Sweet.
Yeah, in Vegas. For, definitely.
Jimmy Lloyd's birthday show.
Yeah.
Jimmy Lloyd's all grown up. And it will be Jimmy Lloyd versus Effie in a deathmatch, main eventing that.
Really good card.
Mike Bailey versus Miedo Extremo.
Mm-hmm.
Rez and Commander teaming up
against
Jordan Oliver and Nick Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy card there.
Yeah, and then shout out to the FX.
GCW's cool. In LA the night after that. Billy Mack versus Blake Christian. Nick Gage versus Mike Bailey. I was watching Mike Bailey stream on Twitch earlier this week, and he's like, send me Nick Gage matches. I need to figure out what the hell I'm going to do with Nick Gage.
Amazing.
Yeah. So I can't wait to see that. I'm very interested in finding out what Mike Bailey and Nick Gage put together, because that's
definitely, we talk about clash of styles. That's about as clashing as you can ever get.
I don't know how you can get more that's the two most opposite ends of the spectrum. And I'm trying to imagine how Mike Bailey and Nick Gage are going to, is this going to be the first time we see Mike Bailey wrestle in shoes?
Well, probably not.
I don't know though. Like,
well, that's gonna be super interesting to see. Is he gonna put on shoes?
Am I, well, because like, well, like only under, because of the implication of glass. Am I,
yeah, of course.
Are we even gonna see glass? Like, I don't know. It's, he said he's like, I'm not doing that. He's like, I'm not letting him pizza cutter me. So right. I don't know. But you know, it's Nick Gage.
He wants to. Nobody lets them pizza cutter. Like, yeah, do it. No, nobody wants them to.
Yeah, no. It's Nick Gage. It's Nick Gage. You're getting pizza cutter.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then a Domino's commercial will play after, and it'll be fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm. Good life.
Yeah. That was our show this week. That was Jersey J Cup was crazy, and then, like, looking at last weekend, it's like, okay, so we got the Jersey J Cup, and like, there's other shows that happened last weekend. You know, like Kylan King and Leo Rush had a. Go watch the main event at least
for watch it.
Wrestling Open last week.
Mm-hmm.
Whole show is good, but like, if you're like, okay, I have time for one match, Leo Rush versus Kylan King from Wrestling
Open. The homegirl Jenna would have been mad if we didn't say nothing about it.
Oh, Jenna would, yeah, Jenna would fucking roasted my ass on Twitter.
But watch Leo and Kylan from Wrestling Open.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And then looking at this week, though, I'm like, oh, shit, how am I going to pick which shows to even watch? There's many that last week I was like, I'll probably watch, you know, like a couple of things, but I'm mostly like Saturday the whole day is Jersey Jacob. So. But yeah, this weekend, it's like I have to make tough decisions. It's great. You know, like I want to watch this Jimmy Lloyd show, but I also want to watch the Prestige show. And I'm already like not, and then like Saturday, it's like I want to watch Black Label Pro and GCW, and I want to watch, you know, like
the, damn, that's a lot.
And I want to watch the Matt Tremont Angels of Death, you know, it's like women's deathmatch tournament. I want to see all that shit.
All of it. It's a good weekend for wrestling.
Yeah, and all
that's across the board.
Yeah, that Angels of Death, that Angels of Death tournament is like, go look at the fucking card for that. Shit's insane.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's gonna be a great weekend. So yeah, get out there, watch your indie wrestling. Go check if there's tickets available for any of these shows. There's so much insane shit happening.
Yeah, if you're in the area, those every event that we described here has there's going to be all over the place. So definitely look up your local independent wrestling shit and go to a local show, because that's how you really support a wrestling company, is by giving them a little bit of dollars.
Yep. And even if you can't make it out to a show, you still want to support your wrestlers, go check out their social media pages, find their merch links. A lot of them have merch stores. You can, you know, order yourself some. Order yourself some shirts, you know, when you live too far away to, like, you know, see these people on a regular basis, or you might not even get to see them for a year or two. You can still support them and also rock their merch and tell all your and when all your friends about ask about them, you can recommend all these cool matches and stuff.
Exactly.
That you would find out about here on Indeed every Thursday. And when we're not here, you can find Righteous Reg doing.
I'll be on Grapsity every Saturday. In the morning, Fightful YouTube with Bill Lindsay, with Will Washington. That's every Saturday. Never going to miss that. Thursdays, every other Thursday is Ask Grapsy. That was before this. And here with Mike on Indeed.
Yeah. Keeps it busy on every other Thursday. Two podcasts.
Thursday is crazy. Yeah, I like it. Possibly another one. I don't know. Hopefully.
Ooh. All right.
New TV show just got announced for Thursday.
Yeah. True. True. I know. Wait.
Yeah.
And me, you'll find me talking about wrestling on Twitter at the handle right below me here. I don't do much outside of that. I work an office job 9 to 5, so I just spend my free time watching wrestling and talking about it on the internet with Reg. Mm-hmm. It's fucking awesome.
Oh, and get the new issue of PWI just dropped today. Mercedes Moné is on the cover, and I have a very special piece on
Saturday too. Fuck. Jay
Briscoe. Yeah, that's on Saturday and the WWE. Like, there's a lot going on. Like, I'm gonna be at the New Japan show, so I'm gonna like have to come back to everything. But yeah, there's a lot going on. But yeah, get that new PWI right now. Just dropped today. I have a piece on Jay Briscoe and my Righteous wrap up. So yeah, get that.
I'm shook now. There's so much fucking
busy, dude. It's so busy. So busy.
Oh man. All right. Well, we need all the time we need to catch up on all this wrestling. So we're gonna call it a day here. Thank you very much for spending some time with us this evening. We'll see you next week. There's no Ask Grapsy, so we'll be on a little earlier.
Yep.
Yeah, subscribe to Slack. Watch Ask Grapsy. It's fucking hilarious. Have a good night. See you next week, everybody.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.